Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
1, 2, 3, go!
My baby don't mess around because she loves the song, and I know this won't show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Screw. That's what you were saying, by the way, right? You were saying you're ready to record.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. So welcome to the Screw.
I feel like we haven't recorded in a while. Have we not recorded in a while?
I mean, we recorded right before you left, and I still haven't put it up because we are still riding this weird wave of people in the Netherlands listening to our podcast. I don't know. We haven't posted anything in a hot minute, and we got traction, baby. So what up, Netherlands?
Hi, Nether Regions. We love you.
Oh, yeah. Nether Regions. That's what we're going to call them from now on.
Of course. Well, that's what I've always called. Oh, wait, no. I haven't called the Netherlands my Nether Regions. I've called my pussy my Nether Regions, but...
Yeah, you have. So, speaking of pussy...
Always my favorite segue.
Yeah, I just laugh because we could probably change the subject to pussy at any given moment of any conversation. And this is kind of pussy by proxy.
Oh god. Yes. I'm so interested to see what you're about to bring up.
Okay, so I tried to play it cool on the interwebs because, there's a lot of stupid shit that gets said. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about this long in the past, but this kind of gatekeeping to young, fierce, slutdom and leftist political ideologies and all that stuff. So there's this ridiculous gentleman that I follow on Instagram because he is 20 something years old and always is writing these ridiculous posts about getting fucked in a public bathroom, sucking dick at Dunkin' Donuts, going to the train station in Paris and taking 4 dicks. But he's a content creator. I've never watched any of his contents, but his posts crack me up because here's an unashamed person putting this out there. And most people think if you read the comments, which I don't usually, but there'll be this commentary about, either go you, pro slut, or you give queer people a bad name, right? Or these posts aren't real and you're just queer baiting.
Okay.
I don't care, don't know. This queer baiting discussion, I want to get into, but let me start here. So I, start seeing these posts and I see a self-appointed elder say something to the effect, we fought for you to be able to enter heterosexual assimilation. My words, not his.
Oh, boy.
And or no, his words, not mine. The other way around. Flip that and reverse it. implying that the fight for queer liberation was a fight for queer assimilation into heteronormative values.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you may know how I feel about that. It's ridiculous. And I'm seeing a lot of people kind of take a bump for having opinions about polyamory or pro get your dick wet kind of mentality or whatever, right? Basically good old fashioned slut shaming, but applied within the community pretty hardcore to basically blame all the deviants within the community for anything bad befalling queer folks forever and ever and more. So I leave a little thing on there about, this is kind of ridiculous. You know, this is why a lot of young queer people are not feeling like a sense of community because of this kind of gatekeeping going on with like the elders who believe like this bizarre ass heteronormative assimilation was what we were actually fighting for, and not like, I don't know, our lives and our right not to be arrested and our right to like enjoy pleasure. And I forget about it, but a couple days later, it comes back, this thing, calling me a sex addict, having listened to our podcast, and I hope the queen is listening now, and that like all of this is okay. You know, I'm not slut shaming. I'd say don't talk about it. So we're back to like, don't ask, don't tell. So, I mean, this person clearly has no morality whatsoever. They're saying, hey, don't spill our secrets kind of like thing. And we're going to shame you on a public platform for like any kind of pro slut feeling as queer men.
Well, it's the same idea of like, I'm pro the thing that you are, but I don't want it practiced in a way that makes me uncomfortable. The same way we're like, I'm pro abortion, but I don't want to see that you're having an abortion because you decided to have one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm only pro abortion when it looks a certain way and is packaged a certain way. It's the same exact shit. It's all rooted in misogyny. It's all rooted in racism, and it's all rooted in patriarchy. And that's what it is at the end of the day. It's just people that clearly never like healed themselves. They have some sort of self-hatred, and because they also then hate parts of their community that make them feel a certain type of way. And giving like cis male, I mean, somebody, I don't know, did I send this to you recently? Somebody was like talking shit about like the cis white male swath of LGBTQ plus, and it was very like you guys are like the heterosexual people within the movement kind of thing.
Yeah.
They obviously explained it in a very articulate way.
For sure.
It's definitely like, yeah, exactly. Like, you're giving, like, we fight, we get two steps forward, and y'all are trying to take us one step back every fucking time. And it's one of those disappointing conversations, because it's like, you can practice your belief system however you want. You do not have to go out and be a slut to be okay with sluts existing. It's okay for two things to exist and coexist at the same time, but you don't want to see things practiced in a certain way because it makes your dick jump and you get worried about it. So then we all have to suffer at the hands of whatever it is you decide is pure and holy or whatever, you know, whatever nonsense you're fighting for in that moment. Right. And that's what it is. It's just like this guy being like, you know, oh, I'm not slut shaming, but yeah. And the butt is where it lives, because you are slut shaming.
Right. So I kind of like, I'm looking at it like, you know, through the social and political lens of today, right? You have, I'm not even going to care to know which cabinet member, I don't care his name, but somebody within Trump's thing is a queer white male in charge of something. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. And recently he made a commentary about, you know, you shouldn't have anything to worry about as long as you are a normal gay or lesbian, right? Whatever normal means, right? So, and notice all the other letter erasure in there, no bi, certainly no trans, and certainly no plus plus on any other alphabet. He deliberately chose his words very carefully. And this is always used, whether you're like a brown immigrant versus like a Black American, there's always some kind of like wedge getting thrown in to say, because we have everybody afraid, like you have some like affinity or association with something that gives you more power. And not just that, make sure you're pointing the finger to keep the attention away from you as much as possible. Of course, we know how that all works. once they run out of like fingers to point, the only thing pointing is the finger pointing at yourself. So you may not be there now, but you will get there eventually. But this is how like divisive, like identity-based respectability politics work, right? It seeks to say, I'm going to feel safe by being able to identify with the normal ones, or I'm safe because of, like, my citizenship status or whatever, right? And that's not going to save you forever, folks. So, like, and all it does is actually make the communities that we're talking about, like, less strong, less solidarity, less in numbers, and all of those things are, like, obviously seriously dangerous these days. So you don't want to be caught by yourself.
It's also giving, I was picked last in kickball, right? It's giving, I would do anything to be accepted by the boys club, and the boys club is run by straight men, and the straight men can only handle my gayness if I hand it to them in a nice little spoon where they're only getting a sip at a time, and it's very, I wouldn't even know he was gay if I didn't know he was gay, it's giving I wasn't picked in school because I was slow at my thing, or I was the bad speller. Like, all right, dude, get over it, go to therapy, and embrace the fact that you probably want to be spanked to, like, let out that fucking inner hatred of yourself. You know, it's like, it's just literally a boys club that people are, you know, they inch one way or the other. You're either inching away from it or you're inching toward it. Well, and when you're inching toward it, you want everybody, you need to conform to what everybody else does and looks like, because otherwise you'll stick out, and there's no room for that in the boys club, right? We have to see each other's dicks.
I mean, that's unfortunately going to be the sad thing, you know. And we've seen this coming for a long time, like almost a white nationalistic gay and lesbian, like, only bi eraser kind of energy coming, and it's certainly been, I mean, like, we've
white nationalist gays are so interesting. like you couldn't put more self-hatred in one fucking, like, I fucking can't.
Well, and I think that most of them, you know, I mean, it's obviously on, like, a deeper level, I always think this is the problem of actually not addressing shame and just, like, going towards, like, whatever middle ground acceptance we can take from somebody else, you know? I mean, if your need for acceptance of yourself is predicated on, like, another group accepting you, you're not even halfway there, you know? So, but okay, so that's that. So and it's actually a good setup, because I'm actually wondering, as a content creator, this kind of next kind of piece of it. So I mentioned that the person is also, like, heavily accused of, like, queer baiting throughout this stuff. And, like, I think I used to feel a certain way about this, but, like, I think it's kind of stupid. You know, these are, like, for all intents and purposes, porn performers. We've never, like, been entitled to an intimate understanding of what anybody's sexuality is. But if you are purchasing and watching that content, I'm not sure what difference does it make if they're queer, quote unquote, queer baiting or not. Their hustle is to make money. And we don't say the same things about lesbian scenes in straight films. We don't say, oh, that film is, like, lesbian queer baiting because they put that, like, that scene with the two girls with the guy in there, right? It doesn't, the argument doesn't stand very hard in, like, the porn content thing to me.
I mean, that would then you would basically have to, if you side with the whole that's queer baiting, that's wrong, then you have to believe that you're not allowed to explore other types of porn, even though you're not in that category of people that would normally consume it, right? On the other side of it, that means that because you're straight, you can only watch straight porn, right? If that's stupid and silly, like, we're, like, here's the thing. This person is getting customers. A lot of the queer community has a little kink for straight boys or straight women or straight non-binary people that they can, you know, turn into a different flavor, queer, or, you know, whatever. It doesn't, my point is that, like, it's definitely, like, a kink on the other side as well. So, like, it's it's nobody's business to really care. Now, if this person was trying to represent themselves as a real, like, this is who I am, this is me giving it to you straight, then obviously that's not okay. But, like, that's not what this is. They are literally trying to get paid off of their sexuality. How they present their sexuality is nobody's business. If they're comfortable having gay customers, why can't they have gay customers even though they're straight? Like, that doesn't, you know, like, again, unless this person is giving false hope to followers, like, hey, I think I'm gonna go on a date with one of you, and, you know,
I mean, I'm sorry, it doesn't even matter.
Like, it's up to the person consuming it to decide if they like that or not. Now, does it sometimes give me the ick when people are like, you know, queer baiting and like for certain stuff? Like, yeah, like there's some things that kind of like make me feel a little like meh, but like it's not something that I give a shit enough about. It's not like why is it wrong?
A lot of queer
people watch straight people in porn all the time because there's gay for pay. Like, I don't understand why that would.
And here's the thing, it just doesn't pass like my kind of like internal like logic test because it's so subjective. Like, to me, the concept of queer baiting is mostly going on inside the individual who's consuming its head, right? Like, for it to even be like a significant feature, like if you're going through this process of like wondering if this person is queer or thinking that they have like structured their targeting for you, then you know, it's on you, essentially, because you're literally the target that they were looking for, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
Like saying you can't jerk off to, like, Brokeback Mountain because those actors aren't gay. Like, who cares? Like, if you're consuming it and you like what you see, you know it's not real. And maybe you think it's real, but you need therapy. That's not on the creator. Like, they're not taking... of that, like, you need to help yourself.
Somebody like trying to pick up GLAAD awards like on behalf of like their contribution to the community, like, you know, and
I think it's people being grumpy that they don't have a chance with the person is really what
was like. Tom Hanks queer baiting because he played like a Kona in Philadelphia? Like, I mean, like, what? Where does this kind of line stop in our understanding? Like, are they queer baiting if they like give a nod and say I support the community while not like defining their sexuality? Or like, you know, like who cares exactly? You know, it's.
I just don't understand why there's any piece of the community that would be like offended by the portrayal. Like, it's not like
the community has worked so hard to keep the economics of the community within the community. We gave our money to Targets and Chase Manhattan and anybody who would hold up a fucking rainbow pride flag for us a long fucking time ago. So I don't know what this high-mindedness of is. It's not like you source your products from like queer distributors. It's not like you've looked for like a queer clothing maker and like what? Oh, because that clothing person makes clothes that fucking queer people like to wear, they're queer baiting you now. Like, it's a false like thing that we ever gave a shit about how we supported the community financially.
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's people once again conflating parasocial relationships and what influencers quote unquote owe people. Yeah.
Right.
They're conflating the idea that like there is a chance because you are a real person, you're accessible, and because of that, you owe me 100% honesty, and you owe me a chance with you, and that's just not the case. It's the same thing as when one of my clients or customers or just followers freaks out and gets upset because I'm dating somebody, and they think that they've lost a chance with me because of it. It's silly. It's based in a lack of reality. It's just absolutely like, it's literally people just needing help. And I think that honestly, especially with influencers, people have this weird expectation where back in the day, if people found out a guy wasn't fucking gay in a video, they wouldn't be upset by that. If anything, they'd be turned on by it. So like, we don't ever hold that standard to like, you know, studio production porn stars. Why would we hold that standard to people that you stumble upon online? Yes. Part of the appeal is that they are, quote unquote, more accessible. They are more real. They put more of themselves out there. There is less production and behind their stuff. And because of that, you see a little bit more of them as a human. But once again, at the end of the day, they are still a performer and they're putting on a show to get money out of you. They are not in love with you in return just because they called you sweetie and they don't owe you their queerness or lack thereof. Just because you view them in a certain way as a performer, period.
Yeah.
Get over it, you know?
Yeah. And so I think that is kind of what's like, what's happened with like the amateur porn revolution, so to speak. The accessibility to content creators is different. Like, you know, you would never ask, you really, unless you went to like the, you know, ABN Awards or whatever, you were not having that kind of access to like other network porn stars or whatever, you know, where you were so intimately involved, you knew who they were dating.
And I'm sorry to burst a lot of y'all's bubbles, but 9 out of 10 of the people you're interacting with are paying someone else on the back end to interact with you.
Right.
Most of the big name content creators that you think owe you something.
Oh, yeah, have a social media manager who are sending you out fucking.
They do not have time to message you back on OnlyFans. They are paying somebody to do that, which is why you should subscribe to me because I have all the time. I'll send you back a voice memo to prove it's me every time, bitch. Anyways, I just want to throw in that. But it's true. Like, people do not have time to fucking worry about what you think of them. Either give them your money or don't and move on. Yeah. Unless they're falsely representing a marginalized group of people in a way where they're taking, like, there's only one of them. Right? Like, they're not taking money out of the queer community's pocket because queer people are paying, because people are paying that person to be that person.
Yeah.
It's not like they not queer and they're getting the money. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, even
it's always a very misguided, ridiculous, righteous rage. If I were to like ask a number of listeners, who buys Charmin toilet paper? You probably get a bunch of hands raised. It's a nice toilet paper. It feels really good on the fucking butthole. But it's a Koch Brothers industry product. And we know how much those conservative assholes have pumped into, like, really bad things for the queer community and for all sorts of human beings, right? But none of you all are, like, stopping to think, hey, I'm actually, like, spending money on things where people are actively trying to harm the community and they're purveyors of that profit. So I just ask, like, to apply some, like, intelligent rage about things that actually matter, whether or not, like, your J.O. video clip person actually, like, is attracted to their target audience. Like, I mean, what? Anyways, it's such a thing right now because you're seeing with the increase of kind of like, you know, content creators, especially in like the old markets like LA or whatever, kind of like circumventing the traditional porn studio market and creating kind of like little cooperatives of their own, you know, other content creators in their area that like are all doing it separately, but then all kind of collaborating together. We basically are back to square one with studio porn again. And they are hard, like, you know, and I don't know if they were smart and got financial backers and are doing these, you know, we're entering this kind of fake, you know, well-produced amateur OnlyFans market these days too, as people get better technology for their bedrooms and whatever, and like hire editors, you know, like
it's me still poor. But at the end of the day, it's just like, I think that now if somebody's misrepresenting a community or saying, or like
benefiting off of that community by, like you said, like winning a scholarship or, you know, something like that. That's different. That's completely different. But if they're literally just working for themselves and letting you think whatever you decide about their sexuality, like, this is just a job for them. And it doesn't, like, at the end of the day, what you're trying to say is, like, this person has to be attracted to every single person that signs up to them. Well, what if they're not, like, bald people, and a bunch of bald people, those people can't sign up to them, and they can't, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I understand that there is, you know, there are places where people are benefiting from kind of, you know, pretending to be a different whatever it might be, but like, this isn't one of those instances, because it's all our performance at the end of the day. It's not them in the community reaping benefits of they are behind a screen.
It's not like their OnlyFans is me fucking my boyfriend, you know, and that's the name of it, right? Like, it's not like it's embedded
but
in,
even
in...
still, it's not like my OnlyFans is me actually fucking my brother. I don't have one. You know what I mean? Are you telling me I can't fantasize now? Again, like, now,
no,
we're, now
you
we're
make a really
rules that don't
that
need
is,
to be there.
That's really funny. Like, that's what I would challenge in a thing too. So, you know, because I watch these videos of a lot of these content creators, because I'm actually curious. You know, from the psychological standpoint, you know me, I'm always having this conversation, like, how are you balancing making content, living your life, having, like, regular relationships? And, like, some of these boys were saying, like, oh, you know, I don't answer that question about if I'm dating anybody anymore, because it never goes somewhere well. He's like, you know, I love my fans, they're sweet, but they don't need to know all of that about me. I think it's like, it's a
you're
smart...
allowed to have a personal life.
Yeah.
It doesn't, nobody's business.
Well, not just that. You're allowed to have a private personal life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where the disconnect is. Oh, if you live in public, everything you do, everything about you, like, becomes public. And that's not true. You know, that's why you see eventually these bad reactions. You know, I don't know if you read recently about, like, the whole Doja Cat fan t-shirt thing, but, you know, you watch the video, he's, like, very uncomfortably, like, touches her, you know, gives her his sweaty shirt, and, like, afterwards, I felt overtouched, like, you know, you shouldn't get to touch me and kiss me on the face like that, you don't know me, you know, so it blew up, you know. Oh, is she being a bitch? Oh, is he da 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 da? You know, they're having, like, some kind of online fight over it. And it's like, I'm sorry. Like, it's social skill. Like, I'm glad you all think because of the internet, this best friend is in your living room. And when you see them in public, you have that kind of access, but you don't. It's, you don't go out to anybody that you have never met and, like, start hugging them and give them a kiss and, like, act so familiar. Where's the, like, humility and humbleness and just meeting people, not even a star? Like, who would you do that to?
Yeah, I mean, that's super inappropriate in, like, so many different ways, but especially being that it's, like, a star, like, that's, like, especially with some of the crazy shit that's happened in the past, stars and stuff. It's like, this
absolutely. We've had a tennis player was stabbed in the back many years ago, right near her spinal cord. I mean, crazy fans have done everything. One shot the president because they were obsessed with Jodie Foster. Like, come on now. Let's think fucking smart about these things. Like, you know, I remember because there was a thing a few years ago where, you know, Bad Bunny was somewhere and somebody just aggressively got in his face with their cell phone taking pictures, and he took it and he threw it. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, you're going to lose fans for that. And it's like, you shouldn't. No, like, you can't be that invasive with people. Like, it's horrible. Like, it shouldn't be the thing, oh, we enjoy this person so much, they are not entitled to their life anymore. You know, it's like, there was a crazy South Park episode many years ago about Britney Spears and, like, you know, how the cult of the public was basically, you know, calling for her sacrifice, essentially, until they basically destroy her. And then they do this end scene, and they go from Britney Spears, it's now Miley Cyrus, right? They're calling for blood for the next tribute of the pop culture population to give them reason to live, I guess. I don't know. It's, I'm always disappointed to see these things in between bombs dropping all over the world. You see somebody who had the time to be butthurt about something so ridiculous. you want to contextualize everything for everybody. You can be this is hopefully not going to be important to you in 6 months from now, because that would be a shame if you're still replying to comments when so many things have happened in between now and then. And I get it, people need to put their head in the sand with some subject or another, but because I'm not, there's a lot of trauma going on right now. I'm not trying to judge anybody for how they're coping through it. I'm just saying, contextualize it, because I had a dear friend many years ago in the middle of COVID and all this fear mongering and this horrible president who was writing about mommy dates with wine. And I just couldn't believe the disconnect from reality to the actuality. And had to roast that person, And what can you do? It's really
just... I always feel a dickhead when I'm free Palestine, next story. Buy my nudes, next story. Donate some money to my friend who has something really serious going on with them. Much more serious than what's going on with me. Next slide. Who wants to buy a package of my nudes? I'm poor and only have pasta. Next slide. Right. World War III. Next slide. You know what I mean? Right. So funny, to try to sell your tits in between, things that actually need help,
I mean, right. I'm going to love some sort of broader psychological study about... And, it reminds me of... Did you ever see the film version of Clockwork Orange? When they're putting him through the desensit, they're trying to make him not a bad sex addict, scary man or whatever. And exposing him to all of this kind of crazy stuff. It's like bombs and then titties and then, an animal being beheaded and then titties, So they're trying to do this really fucked up thing. But I feel we do that all every day.
That's
doom scrolling.
You're right. That's exactly what my stories on Instagram are. It is if you were to open your eyeballs and claw them open with the inability to blink and watch for at least 30 minutes, things go from bombs to titties to sad to animal to bombs. Yeah, it's the same. It's just a series of stimuli, essentially. It just sucks because I still have to make rent, but also free Palestine, it's
but also, look, we know, and coming at this from a kind of my public health perspective, I will say this, we're looking at all sorts of things, overdoses is down, but general use of things, I believe, is up. So people are kind of trying to satiate themselves, and I always look at this, I'm like, oh, if the economy is still kind of stable, it means we're all still shopping to make ourselves feel better. And, at some point, maybe that'll stop working and then overdoses will be up again.
Is that am I allowed to make a dark humor joke about my pussy being bomb, or is that just too soon? I don't know. That's the question.
Well, the beauty of this reality is we've lived in a world for many, many years where there's always bombs dropping somewhere. So they might as well be dropping out of your pussy or into... How does this bomb pussy analogy work again?
I misunderstood this.
No, I did it, but I forgot how exactly we were incorporating bombs in your pussy.
It's just that my pussy is bomb,
Not like a bomb bursting in air. It's just the bomb. You know, that's the thing with doom scrolling. I'm picturing, you know, the mushroom cloud as you take off your underwear and open your pussy lips. It's like, that's where we're at now.
That's a beautiful visual. And
yeah.
That's perfect for this upcoming holiday. So look at you.
Oh, right.
God bless.
God bless them. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's dropping out of me. Not right now, at least. Not currently. Yeah. Tomorrow's a new day, though. We'll see.
That's beautiful. I like your general, like, you know, enthusiasm. You know, you've got this like little butch boy thing going on right now. I don't know what it is, but like you look cute. Like, I expect you to either throw a softball at me or I don't know, maybe it's more, what's that thing that they do with the big balls where they're always pulling? Rugby, that's what I was thinking. You're giving me like hot rugby vibes.
Cool. No, I have to go to Mexico in 2 days, so I'm just tired because I love to go, so yeah. I'm like, well, fried brain.
Re-download WhatsApp and, like, you know, you'll be closer to my time zone once you get to Mexico by 1 hour.
That side of Mexico, the other side of Mexico.
Oh, right. What side of Mexico are you going to?
The East Coast.
The East Coast. So the Gulf?
I don't know. Where's Cancun?
Yeah. Yeah, that side. Yep. Oh. Yeah, because one's the Pacific Ocean and one's the Gulf of America. Oh my God, you're going to the Gulf of America? This is amazing.
Oh boy. Yeah. God bless. The Gulf of America.
So, just like a question, like, when you come back in, like, I would highly recommend you not have any social media apps on your phone.
Why?
Just saying.
Like, I have to delete all my social media off
my phone? Well, I wouldn't say, do you know your, like, passwords for things?
No.
Yeah. I don't even know. I'm just saying, be smart about what's on your phone. Titties are fine, but like Free Palestine isn't going over very well at the border. True. So, oh, yeah. And I'm not just being paranoid. I'm like literally tracking what habits are going on. And obviously, it's like anything with immigration for American citizens. You most likely will get asked 2 questions because they're not going to profile you based on, like, what you look like. But, you know, yeah.
What are they going to ask
me? They're going to ask you, do you sympathize with queer baiting? Are you a queer baiting sympathizer? Have you now or ever been involved in an incident where you baited the queer?
I've masturbated the queer.
See? I knew it. Lock her up. No, have a good trip. Try to enjoy the sun. Don't talk to frat boys. I think that covers it.
I'm like in a resort. I'm not leaving. I'm just gonna
get
room service and go in
the pool. Yeah. Oh wow, yeah. You're doing that very specific. Yeah. I've heard about that.
Well, it's
is it all inclusive? Do you get like all the drinks you want?
Yeah, but I don't really drink anymore, so I feel like I'm wasting it, you know?
Yeah, okay, well, whatever you could have drank that day, you put in a plastic bag and mail to Albuquerque. Can you imagine just, like, taking all of your, like, your drinks from your inclusive thing and putting them into, like, multiple thermoses or, like, water bottles and just, like, hey... Save this for me for when we get back. We got a year's worth of drinking to do.
Oh my God. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I'll eat my weight in food. It's totally fine.
There you go.
But I definitely was like, you know, I'm looking forward to like not thinking for a few days. I'm bad at I'm bad at groceries and food. So like, anyways, it's for a fucking wedding and it's going to be awesome. But also like I have some stressors. So, you know, I'm just kind of like a little overtired from that, but trying to get work done so I don't have to like, I brought all my filming stuff so I can film while I'm there, but
nice.
I don't want to have to like do editing while I'm there because that's like the boring shit. I'd rather like, you know.
I don't know how you do it. Applause, applause.
Well, you know, what else am I going to do? Not eat? Like, yeah, that week I can eat, but after that, I got to come home and get groceries. So
yeah.
It's just like, it's bad time, like financially bad timing across the board, but it's fine. It doesn't matter. Why am I complaining about this on the podcast? I am just a little stressed, but I'm also like looking forward to it. And then after, I don't have anything going on this summer. So like, I'm going to chill in.
You know? Awesome. Awesome. Well, we should like try to enjoy the summer low budget style for as long as possible and record massively amazing podcasts about an idealized world where we get paid a living wage to play with our body parts, because I'm a fan.
I'd prefer higher than a living wage, because I'm
okay.
No,
you're right. And you have to like, these are like economies of scales or whatever you want to talk about. Like, if this is something that you can't possibly do your whole entire life and that there's like kind of like a wear and tear warranty kind of required kind of thing, you should get paid higher, right? Because like if you're a consultant, right, you're not getting benefits, right? You're not getting health care. You're not getting paid vacation. So you should get paid like above market premium.
The fucking wear and tear line really like did me in. That was good. I just would like to have a savings account. That's my only goal, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so did we have anything else to talk about? Because like I don't remember if we did.
No, but I think we did good. These are things that were really like pressing on my mind that I had to get out there and like talk about and like
talk about.
Because I don't get beat up. Like people don't pick on me online that often. But, like, every once in a while, they do. And, like, when it's obvious, I like, at first, I was like, why is this person calling me a sex addict? What does that have to do with, like, what I'm talking about? And, like clearly kind of seeing, like, oh, I see what he's putting together here. Like, he's putting together my podcast. Like, I hope he added to, like, my download account. Like, you know, and that's all, you know. That's all anyone can hope for in this world. Love me or hate me, but up my download rate, okay? That's it. Subscribe and follow, bitch, even if you want to hate on it.
That's a beautiful thing. We love that.
Exactly. I think people love to be irritated. Like, sometimes they realize that, like, I'll follow certain things that give me, like, extreme anxiety. And, like, why am I following this, waiting for something. Like, I don't know if you ever see any of those like people's audit videos where people like try to like push the boundaries of the understanding of their First Amendment rights to film in public places, to like audit like public officials. And they're super tense because no police officers seem to know what the law is. So they're always like trampling all over everybody's rights. But these videos, like, they make me so anxious and I can't stop watching them. That's fucked up to me. Like, I already know these things. I already know a lot about, like, these particular rights. I don't need to see people constantly testing them. I know pretty much 99.5% of the time they're going to be trampled on by authority figures. I've known that since I was 16, walking in Springfield, and a police officer demanded, like, my ID. And I said, for what? You can't just demand my ID. Like, I'm walking here. There's no curfew here. Like, you have no right to even be talking to me. You know, I was standing in front of my apartment, but that was, like, the funny, like, part of it. You know, like, who, like, what is your probable cause to even be, like, talking to me right now? Just that I'm out of the house after dark? Weird. Right. Anyhow, so... No, you can't see my ID, bitch. Anyways, I love you. I hope you have a nice trip. I'm sure. When? How many days before you leave?
I leave in 2 days. I leave Wednesday morning really early.
Woo-hoo. All right.
Yeah. I'll just be happy when I'm there with, like, all my dresses hung up and steamed, you know? Nice.
Yeah.
Like, that just will make me feel at ease. Because everything right now is just in a ball, in a bag, in another bag, in a ball.
In a bag, in a ball, in a ball, in a bag.
I just need to, like, iron. It's giving me anxiety.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, you'll do it. I believe it. I hate ironing. Yeah. Wash and press, bitch. Wash and press.
I just remembered I have therapy at 6 o'clock, and I am, like, so fried. I'm going to be like,
well, it gives you an opportunity. I went to therapy high a couple of times. In general, I tried not to because, like, you know, therapists will give you this kind of thing about, like, we're trying to get to, like, the kind of unaltered you. Which I totally get, but sometimes you go to therapy and you're like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? I don't know what I want to talk about today. And, like, you're just kind of going through your head. And ultimately, it doesn't matter. It's therapy. You could sit there in silence for 50 minutes if you want. But, like, you know, I do think, like, every once in a while, some really good shit comes up when you're, like, slightly altered during a session. And you can be like, you know, I would normally be, like, auditing myself a lot more, you know? Like, I think when you're, like, when I used to get high when I was younger, I would do that a lot. Like, let me be really self-conscious about my state of being. And now I don't. Like, if shit comes out of my mouth and you don't, like, understand that I'm stoned as fuck, and, like... If that context isn't clear to you, we probably shouldn't be having a conversation together because you don't understand my context. And that's
well,
okay.
I mean, like, I'm high, but I'm also very tired. Like, I'm just, like, drained. So I'm just going to be like, I don't want to talk. And she's going to be like, you're so real for that.
Oh, really? She says so stuff. Oh, that's so cute. I love, like, that.
I can tell she's probably, like, just a couple years younger than me. Like, she's in my... age range somewhere in there, you know.
Isn't
what I mean,
that, like, crazy when you start hitting therapists that, like, are possibly younger than you?
Yeah, I love it because it's like it's I don't know, like, we can relate on so many levels because, like, our generation is breaking the curse of, like, what, like, you know, like, I can tell, like, she dealt with, like, a narcissist parent too. Like, I don't know, we just have more things in common, which helps her to, like, relate to me. And because of that, I feel, like, way more validated, which is really nice. So I always encourage people to, like, find a therapist that helps complement what you need. So, like, maybe if you have mommy issues, do not find a mommy style therapist. Like, don't find somebody that's too much older than you, or that's, you know, like, just try to find somebody
that's actually really good advice.
More of, like, a neutral ground, right? Because neutral for me is, like, my peer group or, like, even younger than me. So, like, why wouldn't that be who I chose from, as opposed to the people that have hurt me, with which in my life has always been typically, like, the older generation for me, right? You know? So it's, yeah, like, finding a mom would not, like, a mom therapist or even a dad therapist, like, neither of those would really work very well for me. I need more. And I'm not good with, like, authority figures, so I can't.
Yeah.
I can't have somebody be telling me in a way where it's like, well, I know better. It needs to come from, like, a girl, you deserve better.
Well,
you, like, you know, like a cheer on kind of way instead of, like, a talk down to kind of way. So
I actually think you make a really good point. And, like, this is really, like, important right now, I think, too, because I haven't been to therapy in a few years myself, but I went for many years. And, you know, I'm always trying to kind of piece together, like, hey, there should be something that better helps people figure out what, like, the filtration for the type of therapist would be a good match for them. And I don't just mean, like, oh, what is, you know, the way we were taught to do it and the way we always talk about it at school was, like, what kind of psychological theory does this person work from? Is it, like, a feminist, like, theory in psychology, which exists? Is it, like, humanist? Is it Jungian? Is it, like, you know, there's all these kind of, like, is it psychoanalysis? But those are kind of, like, those are methods of therapy. And I think the answer for anybody looking is always yes to as many of those skill sets as possible, because it gives you more tools in your bag, because not everything is, like, a fit for, you know, what works for Felicia is not going to necessarily work for Aaron, you know, and, like, and that's the beauty of, like, somebody who has got a lot of that. But I think also when you're talking about, like, personality type matchups, it's true, because the therapeutic relationship is, like, tricky. If you're finding, like, that person is, like, they kind of, like, don't talk to me in a way that, like, makes me feel comfortable or at ease, that is super important, because you're never going to, you're going to have a hard time. I don't want to say never, because I do think sometimes these things morph after a few sessions, but it's going to be, like, difficult for you to feel comfortable and vulnerable and trustworthy of this person who's supposed to be guiding you on this journey, right? And I think that's, like, definitely an important discussion to have, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, we live in a time where there's lots of ability to connect with therapy online through telehealth appointments. And I think all of these things are really good. Just make sure, you know, you're with somebody that, like, you know, so you're not, I mean, I think there's some value in talking to somebody regardless, but you also don't want to waste your time. Sure. If you're, like, thinking, oh, I have a goal, even if it's a simple one, or you don't even know, maybe your first, like, thing is about setting goals. I don't have a goal. I need to understand. And I'm talking about emotional goals, you know? So, and I think this is, you know, that's a really great way to think about it. So I think people, yeah, you need to think about who, what kind of interactions and what kind of communication really mesh to make you feel the most at ease. Like, you can
definitely
be yourself, because ultimately that's all you need to be. You know, you're not there for the therapist. They're there for you, but you have to really feel like you can work it. So.
Right. Definitely. That's why I chose a woman in my age range, because for me, like, the person that I'm closest to on, like a full scale level, like, trust wise and stuff, has always been, like, a sisterly figure in my life, and that makes sense to choose a woman in my age range, and it works great. But also, I would like to challenge anyone to take a look at what place you're going to. If they don't ask you a series of questions to try to match you with the best person, now listen, not everybody has the same resources, and every set of resources has a different kind of quality of care that comes with it. But I will say this, if you think that, say you're on Medicaid and you're noticing that there is a lot of, maybe there's just maybe too much on the plate of the therapist you're talking to or seeing in person, and you're thinking, like, oh, this is the standard of care for Medicaid, that's not necessarily the truth.
You may
have the ability to have something better out there for you that is even just maybe telehealth or whatever, because you'd be surprised the different things that are, you know, there's a lot of practices now that are taking things like Medicaid and Medicare, and they're being more inclusive of that sort of thing. So don't be afraid to just, like, keep looking if you're finding that there's places that aren't really, like, the right fit for you. Because, like, I found a place that asked me, like, 50 different questions and then some open-ended stuff. And they gave me a list of two therapists that they thought would work well with what I was looking for and who I was as a person. And from there, I looked at both of their profiles. They both would probably a fit. My eye was drawn to one more than the other, and I decided on that person, and she's been absolutely fucking wonderful. Nice. So, like, and I have, again, I'm on Medicaid. So, like, if I can find that sort of care, you probably can too. So don't be afraid to, like, keep looking, you know?
Yeah. And also that Psychology Today search is still there, and you can, it still also does have, like, a filter option for like your area code if you're looking for more like in-person things. But like what I've noticed on their search function is you will also see ads for things like BetterHealth and whatever, who are also kind of like filterable by like what insurance you have. And you know, you can really, you know, have some like pre things out there too. Like some of the therapists I've found, like the new categories of like kink affirming, LGBT, right. Like
that
blah,
was
blah,
exactly
blah.
My the place I went to had all of that there, like yeah. The fact that I what I do for work, what I yep. like my sexuality, all of those different pieces of that were yeah. all questions that I was asked, which is yeah. fantastic. Beautiful. Because exactly, like the person that I work with is actually a sex therapist as well. So nice. Sometimes, because of what I do for a living, sometimes she uses that knowledge to kind of give me advice or whatever in that field as well, which is really cool, because that's why I was like, this person would understand me a little bit differently than just say somebody who doesn't work in that field, right? So
yeah,
it's really cool the different things you can find out there.
So you're having me think, like, I think I should probably, like, I think, like, I'm gonna actually look up somebody and get on that process, because you know there has been and so far it hasn't been retracted yet, but like a expansion in a lot of behavioral health services in a lot of states to like combat, you know, a lot of the traumas of COVID, a lot of like things going on. So you know, I'm gonna try it out and I'll let y'all know how the process works.
Did I just inspire you to go back to therapy? What a beautiful thing.
You did. I mean, like, you know.
I'm trying to get, like, everybody in my life in therapy back to therapy.
I love that.
I'm like, why can't, like, we all deserve to be, like, in our healed and happy era.
Right.
Even when I'm spiraling out, I'm always just like,
oh, well, because
I have a place to put this, and that's really good for me.
You remember how I was back with therapy. Like, I was always trying to have conversations with everybody about therapy. Like,
no, of course. You were always a huge advocate of it, for sure.
And it's something, I think, you know, I've always thought of it as, yes, this is, like, part of my, like, lifelong process, as I think it should be for anybody. But, you know, it's also, like, when you have like a long-term relationship with a therapist and then you like end it because you move somewhere or whatever, or they move, it is definitely like a daunting task of like figuring out like, oh, you know, it's like a breakup almost, but not like this. Oh, I worked so hard to become like this level of vulnerable, this level of sharing with somebody. Like, it feels like a lot of work to go through that again. But like, you know, it's also, I also know how important that is. So
I'm so excited that I inspired you. This makes me very happy.
You're awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you for listening to this very interesting wormhole like episode of The Screw. I don't even know if we could have hit like more interesting and bizarre topics together, but that's kind of like what being like in this friendship with like us two people whose minds are in a million things at once. That's how it works.
Yeah. Yay, ADHD. Okay. We love you all and we hope you have a happy and healthy week. Okay. Bye.